Ramsey TV.
Gonna tell you something remarkable about Christ's allotment. First, I'm gonna tell you what an allotment is. You count on me for that. And then I'm gonna tell you something remarkable about Christ's allotment. This is also from Romans chapter 8. Well, you know what? I'm gonna do it right now. Let's start right in. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 14. For whoever are being led by God's Spirit, these are sons of God. Now, we take that phrase so casually. Sons of God. Sons of God. Not just creation of God, but sons of God. It's a family relationship. Now, when we say son of God, we know who that is. It's Jesus Christ. But here's the shock. I just could hardly say this is so amazing. God has more than one son. The body of Christ, men and women, are called sons of God. Do you know the difference between Jesus Christ and you? I got to clear my throat on this one. Do you know the difference between Jesus Christ and you? It's not the only difference. But it's a really interesting and good difference. He came first. He was the first son. You're latter sons. But what's the common denominator? All sons. You and I are sons of God, offspring of God, family of God, just as much as Jesus Christ is a son of God. Just as much. He has preeminence because he was first. He's the origin of the creation of God. But the relationship to God is the same. Our relationship to God is the exact same as Christ's relationship to God. And as amazing and wonderful as that is, it has practical implications that are even more amazing and wonderful. Let's go on. Verse 15, Romans 8, for you did not get slavery's spirit to fear again, but you got the spirit of sonship in which we are crying, Abba, Father. Here we go again. Paul's really emphasizing this father thing. God is our father. God is the father of Christ. He's our father. We're in the same boat. Us and Jesus are in the same boat. The same glorious, wonderful, floating above everything boat. Paul's talking to the Romans here, but he's talking to us. You did not get slavery spirit to fear again. Fear again. Why the word again? Because the people he's talking to were former idol worshipers. They were worshipers of false gods, and there are actual false small g gods in the world. They're very powerful spiritual beings. Very powerful spiritual beings. And one of the common denominators of every god except the true God is that that god inspires worship by means of fear, by means of intimidation, by means of threat. Kind of like the Christian God, who is another false god. The Christian God is another false god, false deity, inspires obedience by threat, by fear. Paul said, you did not get slavery spirit. Not slavery spirit. No, you're led by God's spirit. He's contrasting God's spirit in verse 14 with slavery spirit. The result of God's spirit is your sons of God. The result of slavery spirit is fear. And we were all once enslaved to other gods when we were in organized religion. These organized religions are run by competing deities, small d deities, small g gods, but powerful beings nonetheless, who have corralled the majority of the human race into religions to keep them from knowing God. Oh boy, have they been effective. But that's not the spirit we got. We were delivered from that. We were delivered from fear. This is why we don't fear anymore. We're not in bondage anymore. We're not slaves anymore to a system. We are free. And when the Spirit of God makes you are free indeed. And I like to quote this verse every chance I get, Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ frees you. Man, we're out of that system. Thank God. Doesn't matter which system you were in. It's all slavery and it's all fear. But you got the spirit of sonship. There it is. Sons of God. We're being led by God's Spirit and we're sons of God and we got the spirit of sonship. So the common denominator here in these two verses is sons. Sons. It's a relationship to God. Not all people are sons of God. Even at the consummation when God is all in all, they still won't be sons of God. They'll be saved members of the creation of God, but this familial relationship, I mean, that's amazing enough. Think about it. Just the fact that you are of the same rank as Christ is to God, a son, same rank. But we are even closer than that because we are part of Christ. So we are not only sons of God, but we are the body of the Son of God. Israel cannot say that. No, they cannot say that. That's our exclusive possession based on our being designated beforehand. And we are crying, Abba, Father, a very sweet, intimate term. The English equivalent would be something like Papa, Daddy. And I've told you I have a hard time calling God Daddy. I can't do it. I don't know. I'm sorry. I should be able to do it, but I can't. I'm just being honest with you here. I think you have to be crying. I've said this before. I think you have to be crying to say Abba, Father. I just can't say it in normal life. Now, if I'm in some horrible distress and I'm literally crying, I can say Abba, Father. I don't think this is a crying in joy and exaltation. I think this is a crying of, I'm dying here, Abba, Father. Let's go up to verse 16. The Spirit itself is testifying together with our spirit that we are children of God. A lot of people, even in the body of Christ, are questioning whether they're in the body of Christ. Not many, but a few over the years have really been vexed not knowing if they're in the body of Christ. And I told you, it's very simple. If you believe that Jesus Christ died, literally died for 3 days, did not exist, and that he died for your sin, that is, he took away your sin, you can't take it away by believing in him, then you're in the body of Christ. But on top of that, the Spirit will testify together with our spirit. We have the Spirit of God operating in us. It's the same Spirit of God that God has. Spirit is spirit. And the Spirit of God and our spirit within us communicate with each other. They're on the same wavelength. Yeah, I'm a child of God. And again, I'm helping it make it simple to you. Believe in the death of Christ, literally died. You can't believe in the Trinity, that disqualifies you. And that Jesus Christ died for sin. He took away sin. He was sent concerning sin. He took care of it when we couldn't, while we were helpless, while we were sinners. This does away with human free will. So you can't believe in human free will. You can't believe in the Trinity and be a member of the body of Christ. I'm trying to simplify it for you. If that makes sense to you, if you go, well, wait a minute, I believe like Martin Zenner believes, like Paul believes, as Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I'm a member of the body of Christ. Yeah, the Spirit of God has testified together with your spirit. Congratulations. 17, yet if children in area, this is another amazing series of dominoes, but wait till you see how this crescendos. This is unbelievable. You can't make this up. If it weren't written, I myself could not believe it. Yet if children, enjoyers of an allotment. Okay, enjoyers of an allotment. You know what an allotment is? An allotment is a portion, is a parcel given to you. Israel got allotment of the land. Different sectors of the Holy Land of Israel was given to different tribes, an allotment. On your birthday, you get an allotment of cake. Well, on your birthday, you should get all the cake that you want. Don't let anybody limit you to an allotment. This is your allotment. This is all you can have. When you're a kid, that's all you can have. Here's your allotment of dessert. Here's your allotment of breakfast cereal. Here's your allotment of Pop-Tarts. It's a certain possession you are given that's exclusive to you. If children, enjoyers of an allotment. Oh, yeah, what kind of an allotment? Enjoyers, indeed, of an allotment from God. Wow, that must be great. That's better than any ice cream, probably. An allotment from God, the creator of the universe. It gets better. Yet enjoyers of Christ's allotment. What did you say? Enjoyers of whose allotment? Enjoyers of Christ's allotment. Wait. You said, God, you said here through your servant Paul, you said that if we're children, okay, we're children and we're sons, we have an allotment. Okay, understand that. We have an allotment from God. Okay, that's fantastic enough, but we can live with that. We can understand that allotment from God. It must be great. It's coming from God. But that allotment is Christ's allotment? You're not inventing a new allotment for us. You're taking Christ's allotment. That is his territory, what he won. By virtue of being God's son and going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world and providing the necessary sacrifice to eventually reconcile the entire universe to God. Wait a minute. And being given a name above every name because of the depth of his suffering and being then seated at the right hand of God above every sovereignty, above every name that is named. Wait, you're saying that is Christ's allotment, right, God?
Yeah, it's Christ's allotment.
Oh, wait, you're saying that's also our allotment?
Yep. That's what he's saying. We are enjoyers of Christ's allotment. God's not inventing a new allotment for us, because what could be better than Christ's allotment? Christ's possession, his authority, his territory, his real estate, his privilege, his power. Did I mention his glory? If I didn't, I should have. Is also ours. Yeah, I know. But there's a qualifier here, but don't worry, here's the qualifier. If so be that we are suffering together, that we should be glorified together. Now you're tempted to think, and I was tempted to think when I saw this, that the suffering together had to do with suffering evil for the evangel. And it's true that when we suffer evil for the evangel, we have an allotment, but I believe it's an allotment on top of this allotment. I think this allotment is common to every member of the body of Christ. But above that, that is suffering evil for the evangel, suffering evil with an announcement of the gospel of the grace of God. That carries with it something even more glorious. This thing just keeps going. It piles up. But see, it's not said here that suffering for the evangel. It's just suffering, period. If so be that we are suffering together, we should be glorified together also. Well, we know we're going to be glorified. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls, whom he calls, these he justifies, whom he justifies, these he glorifies. That's the common lot of anyone designated beforehand for the place of a son. Got that from Romans 8:30. Talked about that last week. We know that. So the glory Paul's talking about, being glorified together with Christ, right, presented at the throne of God with Christ, his manifestation before the throne of God as a completed Christ, the head and the body. Remember Colossians 3, 1 through 3. His manifestation is our manifestation because we are one with him. We are part of him. We are the completion of him. He is the head, we're the body. The analogy is simple, the human body. Get it? A head looks gross by itself, right? Not good. The body also, not good by itself. A head and the body, okay. Yeah, I could live with that. Christ is incomplete without his body. Shocking. So we know, Paul says in Romans 8, that the whole creation is suffering together. Okay, there you go. This is the common lot of humanity. But our suffering takes on a whole new hue here, a whole new meaning when we are suffering in accord with the suffering God brings us because we are members of the body of Christ, in order to fashion us, to humble us, to discipline us, to bring us to the place where we need to be to fill our role in the coming celestial reign. So we have Christ's allotment. If so be that we are suffering together. Well, okay, well, that's a given. We are suffering together. That we should also be glorified together. And the glorified here tells me that this is the common lot of all the members of the body of Christ because of Romans 8:30. And then Paul says this, which
seals it for me, seals the deal for me. For I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era, what are we undergoing here? The sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed. See, it's hidden now, but it's going to be revealed. God knows what it is. He's holding it. He's got it. Christ is now occupying it, but he's going to open the gate to his allotment. Christ is now enjoying his allotment. We're enjoying hearing about it, but we sure don't have it. Right now, we're suffering. The sufferings of the current era. Hey, that's good news, because those who are suffering, the suffering of the current era, who have also been designated beforehand and who also believe in the gospel, because they don't believe in the Trinity and they don't believe in free will, these are the people. They're going to be glorified and get Christ's allotment. It's almost like when Christ descends from heaven with a shout of command, the voice of the chief messenger, he's the chief messenger. We're going to rise with him, the dead in Christ rise first, then we, the living who survived to the presence of the Lord, shall at the same time be snatched away together in clouds. When that happens, he's going to take us up and up and up, and then we're going to see his allotment. And Christ is going to say, Christ, the Son of God, is going to say, look what I have won. Look what my Father has given me. Now, that's what he'll say. Look what my Father has given me. Wow, how'd you get all that? I suffered. I was obedient unto God, obedient even unto the death of the cross. And because of that, God highly exalted me and gave me a name above every name, that in my name every knee shall be bowing, every tongue shall be confessing that I am Lord, for the glory of God, my Father and yours. And we're going to be in awe of Christ's allotment. We're going to say, look at each other and say, oh man, can you imagine having that? Can you imagine having that allotment? Man, that makes Reuben's allotment or Naphtali's allotment or Levi's allotment look like a neighborhood in the Bronx. What is this? This is amazing. And then the gate's going to open. And Christ is going to say to us, no, this is your allotment. Enter into your allotment. This I prepared for you. This is more than the mansions Jesus talked about with his disciples. Lo, I prepare a place for you. He was speaking of a place on the earth, probably even literally rooms in the temple, a house, a mansion. That's what Christians are looking for, but they don't know what they're talking about. Sorry I mentioned them. Sorry to get off the glory train here. Whew, that was a bad stop. Get back on the train. This is far above anything God does and will do with Israel. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm sorry, but this calling is higher than Israel's calling. Sorry, Alan Hess. This calling is greater than Peter's calling. Is that politically incorrect? I don't care. We have Christ's allotment. We have an allotment from God, but that allotment is just like, oh, it's like, congratulations, you're getting an allotment from God. Oh, great, I can't wait to see what it is. It's Christ's allotment. What?